from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Here. Now, let's start with Klay Thompson. He's the biggest name out here. We get the Wiggins. We get the Kuminga, the Paul George sweepstakes. Klay Thompson, what's your read on the situation, Slates?
Well, it all ties together, right? Part of the reason it has gotten to as icy a point as it has is because what are the Warriors doing right now? They're not dealing with Klay Thompson. They're dealing with trying to get other stuff done. But Klay Thompson knows that. And it's, you know, I think there is a part of Klay Thompson, and I would almost even say a large part of Klay Thompson, that is internally debating right now, like whether he just wants to leave. You know, regardless of money, years, this, that, like, and that's part of, you know, the story I put out last week was, I think, bringing that reality a little bit more to the public, that I think there's too much of this national perception, outside perception that, oh, maybe he's, you know, looking at a deal that he doesn't really like, monies and years wise. And, you know, eventually maybe him and the Warriors will get back together. But both sides, of course, you know, would love for this reunion to happen. That's just not necessarily where it is right now. You know, I do think it's possible it comes back together. There's a lot of conversations that will happen between, you know, now and let's say July 3rd, July 4th, whenever decision time does come. And there's a lot of moves or non-moves that the Warriors need to make that really impact the money and the situation that he would maybe be coming back to. But, you know, I mean, and you guys have talked about it all year, but there is just a chance, particularly from the Klay side, that just a breakup is needed, a fresh start is needed. And I would say it's leaning that way. Again, I don't want to go too definitive because things change this time of year. The situation can change. The money either on the market can change enough, the Warriors offer whatever, that maybe it comes back together. But that is not the way it's trending.
Do the Warriors even, like, at their core, they say out loud, hey, we want him back. For example, Steve Kerr saying on the Jim Rome show, and there's a public face he got to put out there. Internally, do they want him back at all? Like, forget money and years. Do they even want him back at all?
Yeah, I think, you know, for the right money, the right price, and the right mindset, that, you know, if he came back and you know, if it's just, if the entire vibe is happier, I think they would. But like, it was an unhappy season for Klay Thompson last year. I mean, we all saw it. We can go through, you know, blow by blow, yeah, if you guys want to.
We've done that already.
It wasn't that hidden what right. was happening. And like, you know, him kind of coming to grips at this stage of his career. Obviously, the finances involved. I think the lack of communication and motivation from the front office to get something done with him was, you know, kind of looming over everything. There was a benching, you know, there was, you know, the closing time situations, again, stuff you all know. And it's just, I think part of what he's deciding right now is like, is from a happiness perspective, from a mental health perspective. And we all know he like really kind of dives deep into that. And like, you know, what is it, you know, will make him happy. I think he's deciding like, you know, I think there's a lot of benefits to the Bay, benefits to the legendary status and like, you know, living here, boats, all that. But there's also like, you might just want to go try something new at this stage of his career.
So like, to me, there's like a multiple layers to this. There's obviously the emotional component, which is real, right? And like, hey, I helped build this and yada. What's the role that they envision for him regardless? Because I have a hard time thinking, let's say they make no big moves, hypothetically, no big moves. Pajemski, Moody, you know, we're prioritizing them and you're going to accept that. I have a hard time that the coach sticks to that plan for a long time and that he's willing to accept that. Is role a big part of all of this?
Yeah, I think it's like, contentness within. It's not like, okay, you're guaranteed to be a six man. You're guaranteed it's going to be 22 to 24 minutes a night. But it's definitely the idea of like, you're coming back to certain, you know, certain nights you're playing smaller minutes, you know, certain nights you're being minimized, certain stretches of games. As you know, if we're talking about multi-year type deals, like, you know, what is he right now? 34. Like by the time you're 37, you know, you maybe are shifting more towards the Andre Iguodala, you know, style role, especially if Moses Moody and is in year six and Pajemski's in year four. You know, I think there's a bigger picture view of it that the finances obviously also play into. You know, there's the up top situation too with the fact that, you know, I don't think that they have shown the love to him financially that he necessarily thought was coming. And it's not just like, oh, strict dollars and cents on the table. It's literally just like conversations about my future. It's just been very much over the last couple of years like, we'll get to it when we get to it.
Wow.
Like, I mean, it's just what's happening right now. It's what's happening.
Not to defend the Warriors, but like with the modern CBA changing after the Wiggins deal was the extent, like they extended Poole and Wiggins and then the CBA changed 6 months later. Like, can we really fault the Warriors for like, hey, we got to like pump the brakes here because we don't really understand this new CBA?
No, you don't have to fault the Warriors. I think it's very reasonable the tack they're taking right now. Like, you know, your guys, I'm sure, are going to ask me plenty about the Paul George situation. Yep. Like, yeah, if you have a chance at Paul George or other big fish this week, like, go after it. Hey, by the way, you know, remember the LeBron James, like, you know, jaded chase towards the deadline? Who might have been in that deal?
Yep. Klay Thompson. Yeah, it was Klay Thompson.
So the point would be like, yeah, we could sit here and argue from a basketball perspective why you definitely would, like, you know, go down these roads. But also, like, Klay Thompson knows what that means for him.
Right.
Like, what's going on right now? All these, like, big fish that the Warriors are chasing and various deals and the way they affect aprons and money, there's chances if they succeed in what they're trying to do, he's gone regardless, right?
Yep.
This is a business. Klay Thompson has representatives. Klay Thompson has smart people, and Klay Thompson is smart himself about the business. He knows that they're literally saying, hey, we hope we succeed in some things that might mean you're gone. So he can just sit back and go, how about I just make the choice for you? You know what I mean? I'm not, and again, I'm not saying it's over. I do not want that out there, but this is what has happened to this point. And some of the sequencing of this offseason, the Chris Paul guarantee date being Friday, which is before free agency, that has forced the Warriors' hand to, like, you know, prioritize some other stuff. So some of it's just timing. And again, it's timing with when he's extension eligible compared to when Poole was, when Wiggins was, when Draymond was. Maybe if Klay, you know, again, if Klay was just had a player option for this past year instead of when he signed that full max back after the ACL, he did no player options. Yep. Had he got a player option then and had more leverage last summer, he probably would have leveraged his way into a longer-term deal at the time. He was coming off leading the league in threes. This is when he's up. This is a bad time for him to be up. And that's not even just with the Warriors, right? That's with the market league-wide, in general.
Yep.
But it's also just led to – it's a lot of factors leading to this moment, including the fact that they were the 10 seed last year, and now the second apron's kicking in, and now the money. And it's just a lot of stuff that if 10 days from now we are telling the story of a breakup, a very surprising breakup, I think, to a lot of people, that it's all part of it.
Anthony Slater live in studio here on the morning, also on 95.70 Game, our 95.70 Game Insider, and Insider for the Athletic, covers the Golden State Warriors. Klay Thompson came off the bench, and he came off the bench the day before the All-Star break in Utah. And he lit it up in that first half, and I know there was some reluctancy to do that. over those 14 games, he played well off the bench. But behind the scenes, how was he feeling? Because he told us on front end, I'm loving it. I'm getting to watch the game flow, blah, blah, blah. But was that just lip service saying, you know what? I'll roll with it right now. I know I'm out of here because I don't think Pods or Moody should be starting over me.
Do you guys remember the game before he got benched?
It was the Brooklyn game? Or no, it was the Clippers? Don't. Was it Clippers?
So it was a home Clippers game. Yep. They lost.
Yep.
He got benched down the stretch, which wasn't the first time. Yep. It was maybe like the fifth time or something like that. He was frustrated over there on the bench as they were, by the way, blowing a lead.
Blowing
remember?
A lead.
Another yep. one of those big, bad blown leads. And like, you know, he's over there watching the team kind of screw up at the end, and he's not on the court. He's not particularly happy about it. But then they do put him in with like 30 seconds left. Remember, he commits the foul that Steve's like up in arms, like, oh, why'd you commit that foul? They bench him the next day. It was right before the All-Star break. The first game, last game before the All-Star break, as you said. That was a turbulent time around them for various reasons, right? That was a horrible loss. Clay made a huge mistake. There was already like, should Clay be starting? Should he not be? The post game was relatively awkward. You know, Steve's like, no, like that was a no foul situation.
Right.
We knew not to foul. He fouled. That wasn't like, which I don't think led into the great conversation about coming off the bench. Obviously, he accepted it. He came out that night was like old school, like
he lit
like,
it up.
Yeah,
he did a halftime interview with Vincent Bukie.
What did he have at half that?
Yeah, like 20 like, plus. Yeah. It was unreal.
And then and this is Clay in a lot of ways, where sometimes he kind of has these moments, grumpy moments, responses to stuff, especially because he just has this like deep competitive fire within him. And then he maybe a day or two later gives a press conference where you're like, wow, that was really introspective and, egoless, like blaming himself. Hey, I shouldn't have handled it this way. Hey, I shouldn't have said that. Hey, how about Manu Ginobili? You know, he even mentioned Manu that night. So there's always a back and forth with that, I think, with him emotionally. But like, how did he handle it? Like, he played really well off the bench. But I do know one of the points he continued to make during that stretch, I remember he did it in Washington. The same time Chris Paul comes back in Washington, he's back. They both had interesting quotes that night. But Clay's was basically like, look, if I'm getting 25 to 30 minutes regardless, like, I guess it doesn't really matter if I'm coming off the bench. I'm basically still playing starter minutes. And that's the truth. Yep. You look down the stretch of the season, he was playing, starter minutes. He was still third, fourth on the team in minutes played. So I think that matters to him more than, like, I just don't think he wants to be like a 18-minute per night player.
Because that felt, every time when he was on the bench, when he was closing, it just felt body language-wise, which is fair or unfair, but that's all we see on television.
Well, see, I don't think it's just the closing. I think it's the fact, too, that you're seeing a rookie in Brandon Podziemski, who had a solid rookie season, first-team all-rookie, but Clay's probably thinking, I'm better than that guy. I should be closing. I've closed with these guys in finals games, and Pods is closing, and he's never been here before, and he's goofing around. And then all of a sudden, Clay started again at the end of the year because Pods hit that little rookie wall for a second.
This, to me, is where like their really bad starts over the last two seasons really snowballed on both seasons, where you could have made choices in the bigger picture, protect of Clay or the rookies, James Wiseman, if we went back a couple of years ago, you could have made rotation decisions that had the bigger picture in mind had you not been chasing the standings the entire season, where one loss felt big. That's why I remember they went to 3-7 two seasons ago, and then they're like, look, we got to bench James Wiseman. And I know the fan base was up in arms because it was like, why is Anthony Lamb on the floor at times over Kuminga, this or that? And like, Steve's explanation was always like, look, we have to win tonight.
Right.
Anthony Lamb's plus minus is good. He connects the lineups, makes the ball flow. And the coaching staff's belief was, we have a better chance to beat the Pelicans tonight, whoever, if he's playing 20 minutes over, Kuminga, Wiseman, whoever. And part of that was because they just had to, these last two seasons, they've had to win every night because they've gotten behind so much.
So hypothetically, he walks into that locker room, Klay Thompson, next year. A similar locker room to this year. How's he received? How are his relationships with the coach, the coaching staff, Steph, Draymond, everyone?
We'll see. I mean, I think if he decides to sign back with the Warriors, I think a lot of the like deeper conversations will have been had.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like that's, and again, I think part of what's going on right now is him deciding, like, do I want that? But I think if he does decide, yes, I want that, I think that's because he's will, you know, come to feel comfortable about the situation he's walking back into, or, you know, the situation he doesn't have available to him necessarily in the outside world. But I don't think this isn't to say there's like some deeply fractured, you know, Warriors don't want him back. I think they do. But again, I think they're driving a little bit more of a harder line and saying, like, you know, if you come back, it's for this money, this, you know, more of an unknown role. It's not like, hey, you're playing this role, but it's like, hey, you know, you're guaranteed nothing. And he just got to decide if he's okay with that. And if he does decide he's okay with that, I do think they'll almost hold him to that. You know, hey, you decided you wanted to come back. But again, there's so much going on.
That'd be tough for Clay. I can't envision that. Like, hey, yeah, I agree to everything. I'm coming back with a lesser role. And then you go out there and you're seeing Podge and you're seeing Moody. And then if they do take a jump, great. But if they don't and the Warriors are still scuffling around 500, when is Clay all of a sudden like, I need to play 30? And then all of a sudden he starts shot hunting again, you know, because he gets into that mode where he's like, well, nobody's getting theirs. We're struggling. I'm going to try to get mine. That's a sticky situation. I don't know if the Warriors should sign up for that.
Well, I think there would be an understanding within all these conversations that also, like, there's also nothing gifted to the young guys either. No. Like, if I come to camp and I'm, you know, looking good and, right, you know, hitting, you know, Clay still, even this version of Clay, goes on like month long stretches where he's like the best shooter in the league.
No.
You know, 22 a game on like 44% from three, high volume. I mean, you go look at his season numbers last year, even with that horrible start, it's still like high level three and, you know, half D. Like, he's kind of become more of like a 3-4 on the defensive end. You want him on bigger wings. But, like, you know, if he's like, By the end of last season, 0-10 aside, the 0-10 in Sacramento aside, he was one of their top 5-6 best players in the last month, 2 months. Like,
I'm glad you said that, not me, because I'm the Clay apologist. Let me ask you this. If Clay had the same deal from the Warriors and the Orlando Magic, which deal do you think he's taking? Is he staying in the Bay Area, or would he go down to Orlando?
I don't think
with
he's
young
going
team?
To Orlando. You know,
you think that's dead?
Yeah, I do. I guess it could all revive. It seems like Orlando's going in a different direction.
It sounds like they're going to the KCP direction from what I'm hearing. Kentavious Caldwell-Pope could be an option for Orlando after they miss out on Malik Monk. Yeah, you're hearing the same thing, huh? You're in the same thing?
You said it.
No, you don't want to text that.
Where's Clay's landing spots now?
I think that still has to materialize. I think the Paul George domino is massive here, not just obviously, you know, maybe the Warriors get him, but, like, you know, does he go back to the Clippers and then Philly's got a bunch of cap space? Does he go to Philly and then, you know, the Clippers are in scramble mode and are trying to reconfigure rosters? If there's, you know, a lot of times what happens as you go into the market, suddenly you'll see a team.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame,
two more.
You deserve this ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Trade a bunch of like a $17 million player and a $10 million player to Washington and San Antonio and give them picks, because it's like, why are they doing that? Oh, they're clearing cap space for somebody.
Right.
So there could be some, I'll just say this, there could be some surprising landing spots out there for Klay Thompson. I'm not trying to name any teams right now, but there's a lot is in the air right now.
What does Steph Curry want? What does he want with this team right now? Because we haven't heard from him. And I think a lot of this revolves around, obviously, what he wants. Like, has he made his preference on who he wants, regardless of Klay? Has he made his preference on who he wants on this roster?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's in the bring Klay back camp for sure. You know, he's like, I think, probably the most vocal you know, if we're just talking Klay, if we're talking just bigger picture, I mean, he just, you know, he wants a better team, but he's not just,
right,
at least in my opinion or in my understanding, he's not just like, you know, flipping tables. Like, if you don't do this, like, I'm asking out type thing. I don't expect that. But, you know, he's in on these bigger picture conversations. You know, he's communicative with Mike Dunleavy. And, you know, we'll see what gets done. At some point, I'm sure we're going to get into the Paul George conversation.
Yeah,
I tend to think he's interested in that possibility. And, you know, if calls can legally be made, I'm sure he will, you know, pick up the phone. He's
a birder.
If you know him or if he wants to talk to you, he'll talk to you on the phone.
Hey, listen, they follow each other on Instagram, so maybe the DMs are wide open for Paul George and Stephen Curry. How does Draymond feel about Klay? Because he's part of the big three as well.
Yeah.
And he's here. How's he feel about bringing Klay back? Does he want Klay
back? How does Klay feel about him?
Look, I think Draymond, I'm assume, would love to have Klay back, but I think Draymond's, you know, wants this team to be good, like Steph wants this team to be good, you know, and we will see. As far as their relationship, I mean, I think it's fine. I think there's a deep level of respect for what both have meant to each other over the years. You know, I know we talked even last time I was on about you know, the press conference that Draymond had after the season that I think just struck a chord in a sense of, like, Klay, we talked about it at the time, but Klay doesn't like that, I guess, storyline that he owes the Warriors something because, you know, basically they paid him for two seasons not to play because, I mean, I think it's a fair point on his side that, like, yeah, how did I tear my ACL again?
Yeah,
oh, you mean game six of the finals? Right. Like, you know, he was probably the best player on the floor.
I thought we were going back to Toronto, Anthony. He hit that three for 26 feet. I said, all right, Toronto we go.
And then, by the way, like, demanded to come out of the Oracle locker room to shoot the free throws, tried to get back on the defensive end before Steve Kerr had to call timeout. And as he's leaving the floor with a torn ACL, he's telling Steve, like, give me 2 minutes. I'll be ready to start the fourth. Like, that is the, like, were you guys in Oracle that night?
Oh, yes, absolutely. No,
I was waiting to do the post-game show at the studio watching the game.
I was there, Anthony. It was surreal.
Like, history still matters, right?
Of course.
And that's why, you know, within all these conversations, sure, we can, like, cold-heartedly look at, like, yeah, if you could get a Paul George, ooh, can you get in on, like, a Lauri Markkanen right now? Or, you know, what pieces would make sense? Like, yeah, sure. Yeah, leave Klay to the side right now, you know, because he's, at this point, not on their level of player. Yeah, but, like, Klay Thompson knows who he has been to this area.
And I can't believe it, though. And I've been saying this to him blue in the face. I know there's some clunky moments, a lot of clunky moments. But two seasons ago, he leads the league in threes and made threes, and he shoots 41% from three. I think that's good, right? I mean, 41% from three.
But most of our heroes don't stay on their team forever. Chris
they don't
Mullen,
stay. No, I hear that. Know, no, Ronnie Lott, that's not my Jerry point, Shasky. That's not my point, Shasky. My point is, the conversation around Klay is that he's washed, he's done,
that's
he's cooked.
Overly aggressive.
He just led the league and made threes, and last year came off the bench, shot 42% from three off the bench, and then shot like 38-39 from three.
But the question
the
isn't,
so
question
like,
isn't,
so
is
that was
washed?
My thing. No. He brought up, Anthony brought up history.
Yeah.
So it's like the history over the last 2 years has even been skewed to where it's like, oh, he's just not a serviceable player. Any NBA player will tell you, 19 points a game is, 19 points a game in the NBA is the toughest league in the world.
I know, but like using the video game analogy, going from a 99 to an 85 or an 81 or whatever is a precipitous drop-off
in
your
drop-off.
Own mind and in the fans' mind. And so it's tough to come to an acceptance with that.
He's washed when he has
he's
those type
washed.
Of numbers.
That's my whole point. Yeah, he's not washed. Is there any scenario where it's Steph, Draymond, Klay, and someone like Paul George?
Paul George might be a little bit difficult because of the money he would command. because that's what's going on with Paul George. Yeah, right? He's searching for his max. And
that's why I'm asking. Like, is there any way?
Well, sure. The way is like Clay on like a, you know, we're talking like a mid-level type rate. You know, at that point, you know, because this is where it gets tricky, and like we almost all have to like get our calculators and the CBA mm-hmm. notes out, because this Mikal Bridges trade that just happened yesterday just brought up a new rule that I'm learning now with this first apron, second apron, where and like this is going to be a very, you know, nuanced, long-winded yeah. way to get there. But the fact that the Knicks traded Bogdanovich, who makes less than Mikal Bridges for Mikal Bridges, they're technically now locked hard capped at the first apron, not the second apron, because if you make a trade where you're bringing in more money than you give out, you get locked in at the first apron, which is wow. way lower. Whereas it, you know, technically now the Nets are locked in at the second apron. So like making a trade for Paul George at minimum would lock them into the second apron. If they are bringing in more money, then that would actually lock them in at the first apron. And again, I don't even want to confuse all the listeners. Yeah, I'm confusing myself almost, because these are all new rules. The right. CBA was already too complicated, right. but there's all these new rules that Mike Dunleavy was talking at the press conference the other day. They just brought in a new cap guy from Detroit, John Phelps. He's replacing mm-hmm. Anzi Sala, who went to Atlanta.
After mm-hmm. buying El Monte?
Yeah. And he's he's basically saying, I got to hit up John like 20 times a day right now to be like, is this legal? This illegal? And by the way, stuff can be legal right now in June that, it's July 1st when it triggers, but a lot of these trades, even if you agree to them and they're announced or they're reported, won't actually be able to go down until July. So the new rules will be under, you know, I guess the situation. So to answer your question, I think it would be very hard to get a Paul George in and have Clay back because of the money situation. But the way to potentially do that is Clay coming back on a real discount. And I guess my overall point is like, I think if Clay knows he's taking a discount, I'm not sure he'd want it to be with the Warriors. We'll see. Yeah. Again, I'm qualifying everything.
Yeah.
Well, because like there's so much going on in the league right now.
Let's get into Paul George yes. on the other side. Let's dive deeper into it. We'll play some sound from when.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.